Good morning and welcome to the Paul Green Comedy Podcast, May 10th, episode 163, another travel edition for you. I am currently en route to Yuma, Arizona, and I'm going to Yuma right now en route to San Diego. So I have a gig at Mic Drop in San Diego, California, tonight, May 10th, and I am very much looking forward to that. As I am recording this, I am, though, driving to Yuma from Gilbert, Arizona, where last night, I just had an incredible show experience. So, if this is your first time tuning into the podcast, the backstory is I started another podcast. That's right. I am now involved in two podcasts minimum. And the second podcast I do is called the Let's Have a Midlife Crisis Podcast, which I co-host with my comedian friend, Josh Noby. And it was really his brainchild. He reached out to me about a month ago. He and I were just comedian friends. We had gone to lunch a few times. He was a guest on my podcast at one time, and then just said, "Hey, why don't we team up?" And when he called me, he already had the show concept, the "Let's Have a Midlife Crisis" comedy podcast. Or I keep saying comedy; it's not actually really comedy. Let's have a midlife crisis podcast. I keep throwing comedy in there. Although maybe it's okay that that's in there. So anyway, we just started filming episodes about a month ago. We didn't even have our own YouTube channel yet. We were really just sort of figuring stuff out as we went along, which I think is how so many projects start and end. And which is just, you know, you just have an idea and you just figure out as much of it as you can, and then you go and do it and continue to make adjustments. So a bunch of planets aligned over the last, pretty much the last 2 weeks, to where we were just recording the podcast at Josh's place. He has a podcast studio in his house. And right about that time, a couple weeks ago, a club owner and good friend of mine, Jim Perry, contacted me about producing my own show at his comedy club. And I had a couple ideas of, you know, maybe how I wanted to approach that. But something just hit me that went, man, what if me and Josh filmed our podcast live in front of an audience, and that was the show? And I pitched that idea to Josh, and he was on board. And then I pitched it to Jim, and he was on board. And that really all just happened 2 weeks, maybe even a week and a half ago. And we got our first date on the calendar, which was last night. And I got to tell you, it was fantastic. It was so much fun, especially for opening night. Obviously, anytime you do something new, any sort of new performance, any sort of new idea, there's always going to be kinks. There's always going to be bugs to work out. But I think what you want to feel is that overall, you've got something. You know, you got something here that seems to be a good idea and seems to resonate. And I'll tell you, in that regard, it was definitely fantastic. We had a great audience show up. We had about, I think, 70 people come out, which was absolutely incredible. I was half expecting, well, you know, nobody really. I don't have a high expectation of my capacity to draw people to a crowd or draw a crowd to a show. And I think what made this so awesome is that I wasn't the one who had to draw the crowd. So the comedy club itself was a huge draw. They brought the majority of the people because they already have a following. They already have a mailing list. They already have a great community of patrons who know the venue and trust the venue and are willing just to come out to whatever comedy shows are there on any given night. And then Josh Novy, he also did some Facebook advertising and put out some ads, and he got a handful of people to come out as well. So it was just really fantastic. Obviously, like I said, there were some kinks. You know, Josh and I are still sort of figuring out how we work together cohesively in the best manner. You know, there was a lot of sort of us kind of talking over each other, or because we were excited and, you know, one of us had something to say or whatever. But, well, we both had something to say at the same time. And then it sort of becomes, well, who can get the joke out first? So the format of the show was we pretty much just got up on stage. I had my piano on stage, so I sat behind my piano. We had a seat for Josh, and then we had a bucket where we had the audience write their name down on a piece of paper if they potentially wanted to be guests on the show. And first of all, we had no idea if anybody was actually going to do that. So there was a part of us, and we were having these discussions just going, okay, we're going to ask people to put their name in the bucket to be guests on the shows. However, if nobody puts their name in the bucket, then, you know, we'll interview maybe the comedians who we had open, like that sort of stuff. Because, I mean, we really didn't know. We really had no idea what the turnout was going to be, what the participation was going to be, if people were going to like the show. We didn't know what we were going to say. We really had no, you know, we didn't have any written out bits. We didn't have any sort of strict show format. Really, all we said to ourselves was, we're going to go on stage. The concept is having a midlife crisis. We're going to have a bucket of names that we can pull from. Whoever comes up on stage, we're just going to talk to them about their lives and their midlife crisis and what's going on, and just riff off what they say. And then after talking to them for a certain amount of time, whatever it is that they talked about, we're going to improvise a song about their midlife crisis. It's just such a bonkers idea. But I mean, it was Josh's idea just to have a podcast where we talk about midlife crises and then break out into improvised song, which obviously is one of the main reasons that he reached out to me, is because I'm a music improviser and I can play piano, and Josh is a music improviser, so he knows how to improvise lyrics. And so that's what we had done with our recorded podcast just at his place. But then the big question became, well, would we be able to put this in front of an audience, get audience members as guests, and keep an entertaining, high-energy show for an hour, especially when we have no real, we didn't really have anything other than just that. Just, we're going to get on stage, we're going to bring some people on stage, we're going to talk to them, we're going to sing some songs about them, and that's going to be the podcast. And we didn't know if he and I were going to talk first, you know, maybe about our midlife crises, or if we were just going to jump right into the bucket, or how many names we were going to draw. We didn't even really know how we were going to end it. We had sort of pitched a couple of different ideas. We had talked about, well, maybe what we'll do is after the last guest, we'll sort of wrap up and talk, and then maybe he and I will just improvise a song summarizing the entire show. But what ended up happening, so the show format went, we had three comedians who all opened up the show, in essence. So we had a host and then two features. All three of them did fantastic. E.L. Smith was the host, who I hadn't met yet. He was he's Josh's friend. Really good energy, did a really good job. And then my friend Saskia B., really great comic. And then Jip Perry, who's the owner of the club, went up and is always fantastic and just a very, very funny, high energy, engaging comic. And it's his club and everybody loves him. And so, so there was part of me that's going, man, what are we doing? Like, we invited these three incredibly funny powerhouse comics, and then Josh and I were just going to go on stage and sit down and just start talking. And we don't have a routine, you know, we're both stand-up comedians, so it would be easy for us to, you know, to do our stand-up comedy material or whatever, but that wasn't our plan. Our plan was just, we're going to sit down and we're literally going to just riff. And we had an hour for our portion of the show. So the first three comics took up about the first 45 minutes. And then we took the last hour. And backstage, Josh and I were sort of talking and joking about it. And I just went, you realize that we have to go be entertaining for an hour with no plan. And there was part of me was thinking, should we, like, you know, should we be talking about maybe a couple of topics that you and I can at least riff on if needs be? Shouldn't we? And we did actually talk about that. We're like, well, you know, we could talk about this thing that Biden's doing, and, you know, we could talk about that. And so we had a couple of things sort of in our back pocket just in case we needed them. And didn't end up doing that at all. So we just got on stage when it was our turn. We had the host bring us on stage and just let everybody know that, hey, this is the main event. This is the Let's Have a Midlife Crisis podcast. Your hosts have been on. He gave a bunch of credentials and, you know, please welcome to the stage Paul and Josh. And so what Josh and I had talked about before is that we would go on stage. We would sort of stand in the middle of the stage, kind of, you know, welcome everybody and kind of big energy, and that I would then actually introduce the podcast and let everybody know what's going on. And while I was doing that, Josh was doing a little bit of like stage resetting, because there was a certain way we wanted the stage set up. And obviously when there are stand-up comedians on stage, you know, it can be a little cumbersome to have a bunch of stuff. So we had sort of pushed the furniture around. I mean, I don't need to get that technical in the details. So we just walk on stage. I start explaining to the audience what's going on, that we're filming the Let's Have a Midlife Crisis podcast. And you know, it's on YouTube, but this is the first time that we've ever done it live. And, you know, we're so excited to have you here. By the way, everybody who put their name in the bucket, you're going to have an opportunity to be a guest on our show. And I started kind of making jokes about that because some people I don't think actually understood that that's what the bucket was for. And so there were some. So after I said that, I made this joke of, so knowing that if your name is in the bucket, you could potentially end up on stage to talk about your midlife crisis. Is there anybody who wants to put their name in, or is there anybody who put their name in who now wants to take it out? Which, you know, I thought was a funny idea. But anyway, so with that, you know, I made a couple jokes. Josh sat down and we were ready. And I didn't really know if Josh and I were going to talk up front. And I was sort of looking at Josh to figure that out. Josh was sort of looking at me like, well, the show has started. Hey, what do you want to do now that we are already on stage in front of an audience? And by the way, an amazing audience. They were so great. So much fun. So energetic. We had a couple of sort of talkers and hecklers, but the format of the show was so loose and conversational with the audience anyway that it wasn't quite as distracting as it normally is, like in a comedy show. There were a couple of people who got a little too heckly, but yeah, you know, it's a live show, so you're always going to deal with that sort of thing at a live show. You never know who's going to be in the audience and who's going to yell out what and who's going to shout what. And this show, even more so, because Josh and I didn't even know what the heck we were going to do or what we were going to say, or how many people we were going to interview or bring on stage. And so once I sort of did my introductory explanation of what was going on, I just sat down, and then we actually ended up calling somebody to the stage almost right away. So me and Josh didn't really end up talking about ourselves that much, which, again, we weren't really sure. I mean, we had talked about it, but we weren't really sure what direction we wanted to go. And it was almost like, well, here's all the ideas that we have of how it could possibly go and different directions we could take, but let's figure it out in the moment what direction feels best to go. And so once we sat down and it was pretty much game time, Josh looked at me pretty much, I mean, he was like kind of shaking the names around in the bucket, is like, yeah, let's just get a guest on stage and start. So that's what happened. We brought on our first guest, and she was great. She was very charismatic. She had a great energy. She was super funny. She was very transgressive, which was super fun. She was using a lot of profanity. She talked about how she has three kids and that she can't stand her daughter, and how she always thought that, you know, she wanted to raise girls because she thought girls would be a lot easier to raise than boys. And how she just talks about she hates her daughters. I mean, you know, it was all in good fun. You know, she wasn't like being malignant. She was just, but that's her life. You know, she has these three kids, and you know, the kids were a little older, and then she was visiting from California. So she talked about how much she hates California and how she wants to get out of there. She was actually thinking of moving to Gilbert, and, you know, didn't like the, you know, all the pollution and the politics and how expensive it is. And so anyway, she was so much fun. And then Josh and I sang a song about her. She had mentioned that she likes pop music. And so we kind of did this hip hoppy sort of teeny bopper pop song that we sang about her. So that went really great. And then Josh and I just immediately went back to the bucket. We didn't really spend a lot of time talking about ourselves or, you know, sort of doing our thing. It was really just, you know, we would bring up the guest, we would talk about him, we would go back and forth. Anything that she would say, of course, we would riff on and make jokes about. And everything was just so much fun. The audience seemed to be so into it, having so much fun. It was just very, you know, it's just very present and personal and authentic. And it's happening in real time. I think the audience appreciated that it wasn't, you know, maybe, you know, scripted out or pre-written, or that Josh and I were very clearly doing, you know, comedy bits that were scripted, that we were just in the moment having these conversations with these people who were talking in real time about what they're going through, what they're thinking and feeling. And then we would just turn it into a song, and the audiences were loving the songs. So that was Kim. So Kim was our first guest, and then our second guest was a woman named Brianna, not Brianna, and she was a nurse from North Dakota who had moved to Arizona to take care of her grandmother. She was really, really fun, and something fun happened on her song. Her song was a bit of a sort of a swing number, because she talked about how she liked swing dancing. And I had actually talked to Josh about this before the show, that I let Josh know that when we do these songs, that we want to make sure as much as we can that we keep the songs conversational with the audience. And we don't get to a point to where we're sort of singing a song at the crowd, and that the crowd becomes a passive observer of like a concert, but that we sing the songs in a manner to where we're stopping after every couple of lines and re-engaging with the audience again. And I think that was something that really served us well. And the other thing that I told Josh was, you know, after we do that, so after we sing a couple of lines of dialogue or a couple of lyrics as part of the song, but we stop and we reconnect with the audience so that, you know, they have time to laugh, they have time to react, and then we go to the next portion. I said, and then when we're ready for a hook, we should really try to make our hooks so fun and simple that potentially we could get the audience to start singing along with us on these improvised hooks about our guests. And when we had Brianna, our second guest, we started to get that a little bit. It wasn't super clear what the hook was, but I started trying to indicate to the audience of like, hey, sing along with us. Our hook was something like, hey, Brianna. Hey, Brianna. And so I was sort of indicating to the audience like, hey, sing along with us. And I think a couple people did on that one. But then our third guest was a young kid named Jake, I think his name was. And he was like 24. And so, of course, we just start going after him for being so young, but thinking he's having a midlife crisis. And he was handsome. He was really good. He was just like a good-looking kid and and he looked like athletic. He was, you know, he had like nice, he had a nice necklace on. He was wearing a nice watch. And so for about 5 minutes, Josh and I kind of just rip on him, again, playfully, about how he's a 24-year-old successful person and he's on this podcast. And it turns out that he's a marriage and family counselor and he's already graduated college and he's like certified. And now he's an associate, so he has to do, I think, 3 years of associate work before he's actually has his own practice. But he was just an impressive young man. I mean, like, this guy has his life together. And he had a girlfriend in the audience he was sitting next to who just seemed like a total sweetheart. And, you know, they'd been together a year. And he just talks about how, in about 10 years, you know, I want to have a family with three kids and have my own private practice. I mean, the kid is just like... like, that's an impressive young man. So we ended up singing a song about him. And Josh came up with this hook that was pretty much just teenage counselor. So we just started singing, teenage counselor. It almost kind of sounded like a teenage wasteland. Is that the lyric? Teenage wasteland, I think. And anyway, that became the hook for our song, was this teenage counselor. And it was so catchy that we literally got the whole audience singing that hook along with us. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it actually worked. You know, like what I had sort of talked to Josh about, that's going like, hey, if we sing the songs in a way that's very conversationally, but then we have a very simple, compelling, fun hook, I bet you we can get the entire audience singing along with us. And next thing we know, we had the entire audience singing along this hook about this, our last and final guest. So once we got done with that song, we pretty much had about 5 to 10 minutes theoretically left that we could have still taken up from what the club had told us, just in terms of when they wanted us to wrap up. And I kind of looked at Josh, and again, we had talked about how we might end the show. And one of the things we talked about is that we might sit down, sort of do a recap of the show, and then sing a recap, just he and I. But the song about the teenage counselor was so big, and it was so high energy, and we had everybody singing along that we just sort of looked at each other. And I'm just going, I think we should just stop it right there. You know, I think trying to do anything more will end on a lower note. I think if we end now, we're going out on a real high note, high energy. You know, we're maybe a little early in terms of timing, but better to be a little bit earlier than a little too long, especially in a comedy club. And we just had nothing but great responses and very appreciative people as, you know, they left, and seems like people really enjoyed the show. So just a very, very cool experience to have this whole show come together so quickly and to have it be such a great success right off the bat. To where it's like I said before, there's still a lot of kinks. Could it have been better? Could we have been more airtight? Could we have been a little more clear on the direction we were going? It's like, yeah, but we didn't know. We didn't know any of that stuff. And we weren't going to know until we just got on stage, implemented as best we could the ideas that we knew we wanted to implement, which was bringing audience members on stage, interviewing them, and then singing a song about them. So, sounds like it was overall a very good success. It was a very good success as far as I'm concerned. The club owner seemed very happy. Jim seemed very happy with that. And so much so that we are going to talk tomorrow about planning the next live taping of the Let's Have a Midlife Crisis podcast. Our hope is that at least initially it will be a monthly show there at JP's. And potentially even more, maybe we could do it more often. And we've already even talked about potentially trying to tour the show. Obviously, that might be a little ways down the road. We'll want to, build up our audience, build our social media presence, all of that stuff. But in terms of day one, the first inaugural live taping of the Let's Have a Midlife Crisis comedy keep saying comedy podcast, it was very successful. So that, my friends, is the update as I am en route to Yuma to end up in San Diego tomorrow night. So tomorrow night I will be in San Diego performing at Mic Drop in San Diego and looking forward to that performance. So until then, did I say tomorrow night? That's because I am recording this the night before I release it. So by the time you're hearing this, the show at Mic Drop will be tonight in San Diego, California. So looking forward to that. That is the update, everybody. I hope all of you are out there going for your dreams, having fun experiences, putting ideas out there, seeing how they come together, collaborating with like-minded, high-energy, supportive people. I'm so blessed, so fortunate for all of these people who have come into my life and are being so supportive. Jim Perry, his wife Janelle, his whole family runs the comedy club. They're there every night, on the weekends to manage the club, which is just so indispensable to have all of that administrative stuff. I mean, there is so much admin going on to run a comedy club, running the website, running tickets, checking people in, getting people drinks, managing all of the ticket requests and the seating and, keeping the just little stuff, cleaning the floors, taking the trash out, swapping out the toilet paper, the paper towels, keeping everything stocked and ready. I mean, just even those little elements are all things that need to get done. And we're just so fortunate that Jim has created this club and that his family are supportive and that they help just run it so that somebody like me can just show up and do what I want to do, which is perform. And so grateful to Josh that he reached out to me a month ago and suggested that we do a podcast together. And he's done a ton of work on the back end production side of things to make it all happen. And I kind of just get to show up and perform and contribute wherever I can. So very grateful, so very grateful for the people in my life who are supporting me and helping me with these opportunities. And of course, my mom, who watches every one of these episodes and leaves a comment to help with the algorithm. So thank you for that, Mom. All right, everybody. That is the update for today, May 10th, 2024, episode 163 of the Paul Green Comedy Podcast. And I will check in with you tomorrow on Saturday and let you know how the show at Mic Drop went. And I will continue to share my journey and any sort of wisdom or insights that I am gaining on this crazy path of entertainment and doing stand-up and trying to find ways to make it successful. So I love you all so much for listening. Hope you're doing well. And I will talk to you tomorrow. Okay.